These past several weeks have pushed us into a lifestyle that's unfamiliar to us. Things we did on a daily basis we're suddenly not doing. Our schedules have been turned upside down. Our lives have been put on hold. I'll be honest with you, there's many times I don't even know what day of the week it is, because one day just seems to turn into the next, and there's nothing to anchor our week to. It used to be Sunday, and we would gather for worship, and then every day after that, we would know where we were, but that has been taken from us. I always knew that I was a creature of habit, but what this current situation has done, I've discovered something else about myself. I really don't like change. I've often used the old line, the only people that like change are wet babies. I'm finding that I'm one of those that don't like change. But what is even harder to deal with is uncertainty. Human beings are quite adaptable to change, but we don't do well with uncertainty. I think that at the beginning of this pandemic, if we had been told, look, we're going to need to put things on hold, quarantine for 2 weeks, maybe 4 weeks, and then it'll go back to normal, we'd have been okay with that. Problem is, it turned to 6 weeks, and then 8 weeks, and quite honestly, we don't know when things are going to go back. There have been studies out that said we should continue social distancing for 2 years. So there's no certainty as to when life will get back to any sort of normal. And that's very unsettling. It causes a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear, a lot of stress. I wish I could tell you when this situation will end. I wish I could tell you it'll end soon. I have no ability to do that. Frankly, I have little confidence that it will end soon. And we will just continue to push back the date and push back the date. There's just no way of knowing when life can get back to any form of normal. I'd like to alleviate your anxiety about your jobs and the economy, and that things are going to be all right. I don't know. I don't have those answers. But what I can give you is unchanging truth for these uncertain times. In the storms of life, we need an anchor. Hebrews 6:19 says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul. The hope we have in Jesus Christ can be that solid foundation, that anchor that holds us in the storms of life. When we've lost our way on a stormy sea, we need to, in the words of Max Lucado, set our bearings on the one and only North Star in our universe, and that's God. For though life changes, He never does. Now, over the next several weeks, I would like to focus on unchanging truths in uncertain times. We're going to consider God's personality, His purposes, His power, His passion, and His providence. They never shift, they never alter, they never vary. Now, in theological terms, we call this God's immutability. Theologians will say God is immutable. That means that He is unalterable, not subject to change. It's the state of ongoing existence without change. Times change, circumstances change, people change. God does not. And we can find tremendous hope in God not changing. He remains the same. Now, my goal over these next several weeks is not simply to teach theology for information's sake. Instead, I hope to provide what Linus provided in one of the classic Peanuts cartoon strips. In this particular strip, Lucy and Linus are looking out the window at a torrential downpour. Lucy says, "Boy, look at it rain. What if it floods the whole world?" Linus replies, "It'll never do that. In the 9th chapter of Genesis, God promised Noah that that will never happen again. And the sign of the promise is the rainbow." Lucy smiles and says, "You've taken a great load off of my mind." And Linus replies, "Sound theology has a way of doing that." And that's true. We sometimes think of doctrine and theology as that dusty old stuff that scholars can debate and really has nothing to do with our lives. Sound theology can take a load off of our minds. And it is my trust that as we get into God's unchanging character, it'll take a load off of your mind. No, it's not going to give answers as to when our present situation will change, but it will give us hope in a God who does not change, who is always the same. And the ramifications of that are very practical as well as very comforting. Let's begin with the certainty of God's character. How do we know that God is still the same? Simply put, Scripture says so, and it says so definitively. In the very last book of the Old Testament, Malachi 3:6, we read, "I am the Lord, I do not change." I don't think God could be any clearer than that. He identifies himself and says, "I don't change." So the character of God remains dependable. There's no vacillation, no wishy-washy in God at all. He doesn't change who he is. His character is changeless. Jen Wilkin, in her book, None Like Him, calls the chapter on immutability the God of infinite sameness. I like that. God is still the same, and he will always be the same. Psalm 102, verses 25 through 27, contrasts the changing nature of creation with the changeless character of its creator. It says, "Long ago, you laid the foundation of the earth and made the heavens with your hands. They will perish, but you remain forever. They will wear out like old clothing. You will change them like a garment and discard them, but you are always the same. You will live forever." That's the changeless character of our God, the one who identifies himself as the Lord. In the Hebrew, that's Yahweh, is known as the unchanging one. God is dependable. What he has been in the past, he will be in the present, and he will be in the future. Another version renders this, "I am the Lord, unchanging." I like that. There's an utter consistency in God's character and also how he deals with people. Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23 states, "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Maybe you recognize those familiar words from the great classic hymn, "Great is thy faithfulness." It defines God's immutability. He has to remain faithful. Being immutable, he not only will not change in his faithfulness, he cannot change. It is impossible for God to change in his basic character. He is incapable of change of any kind. You see, change can only take place for the better or for the worse. When something changes, it either improves or it gets worse. And you can't say that about God. God cannot get any better. He's already perfect. And God cannot get any worse because his perfection remains constant. There is simply nothing to change. When I say that God is still the same, I'm talking about all three persons of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You can run through all the attributes of God and they equally apply to all three persons. What you say about the Father, you can say about the Son, you can say about the Spirit. You see, and God the Father described in James 1:17 that he does not change like shifting shadows. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. All that God ever was, God still is. And all that God is, God forever will be. His character is changeless. One of his great names suggests this, the name Yahweh. You know what that means? I am that I am. Meaning, all that I ever was, I am today. And all that I am today, I always will be. I am the unchangeable one. Only God can say that. Our God never changes direction midstream. He never recalibrates the course midway home. He never amends his heavenly constitution. God will always be the same. Now, nobody else can say that. Lovers call you today and scorn you tomorrow. Companies follow pay raises with pink slips. Friends applaud you when you drive a classic car, but they dismiss you when you drive a dud. But not God. God is still the same. His character is changeless. That is a theological fact, and it's something we can build on. It's something we can put our faith in and know that it is constant. It's not going to change. Well, let's build on that to see the connotations of God's changeless character. What does it mean in practical terms? A.W. Tozer wrote in his book, The Knowledge of the Holy, to say that God is immutable is to say that he never differs from himself. The concept of a growing or a developing God is not found in the scriptures. For a moral being to change, it would be necessary that the change be in one of three directions. He must go from better to worse, or from worse to better, or, granted that the moral quality remains stable, he must change within himself to grow from miniature to mature, or from one order of being to another. And it should be very clear from Scripture that God cannot change in any of those directions. His perfections rule out any such possibility. God cannot change for the better. Since he is perfectly holy, he has never been less holy than he is now. And he can never be any holier than he ever was. Neither can God change for the worse. Any deterioration in the unspeakably holy nature of God is impossible. Indeed, I believe it impossible even to think such a thing. For the moment we attempt to do so, the object about which we are thinking is no longer God, but something else, something less than he. The one of whom we are thinking may be great and awesome creature, but he is a creature that cannot be the self-existent creator. As there can be no mutation in the moral character of God, so there can be none in his divine essence. The being of God is unique in the only proper meaning of the word. That is, his being is other than and different from all other beings. He is self-existent, self-sufficient, and eternal. By virtue of these attributes, God is God and not anything else. One who can suffer any slightest degree of change is neither self-existent, self-sufficient, nor eternal, so is not God. Only a being composed of parts may change, for change is basically a shift in the relation of the parts to the whole, and the admission of some foreign element into the original composition. Since God is self-existent, he is not composed of multiple parts. There are in him no parts to be altered, and since he is self-sufficient, nothing can enter his being from without. Contrast that to us. We're born physically, intellectually, and emotionally weak. We are truly helpless, completely dependent on others for our very survival. Now, as time passes, we grow. We grow physically, we grow taller, we grow stronger. We become able to take care of our own needs. We grow intellectually, we grow emotionally. Now, at some point, our growth stops. And we stay pretty much the same height for a number of years. Eventually, our intellectual growth plateaus, usually later than our physical growth, at least I hope so. Then as we age, we begin to lose strength. Sometimes we even shrink in stature. Some of us will see our mental capacities diminish as time passes. We may become physically and mentally helpless once again. I remember a lady from my very first church used to have this saying that she would say, once a man, twice a baby. And it's the idea that we begin as a baby, helpless, dependent upon others. We grow to be an independent person, but oftentimes, as we get to the end of our lives, we go back to being helpless once again, completely dependent upon others for our very survival. We're constantly changing. And change can often bring confusion. We become accustomed to think of how things are, but when things change, we don't know what to expect. We're not sure what to anticipate. Times change. Circumstances change. People change. Expectations change. But God is still the same. This one whose will often seems confusing and mysterious is faithful to the end, consistently and immutably the same. Strange as it may seem, our God stays faithful, constant, and ever-present in our lives, even when we can't sense his presence, even when we question his plan, even when we've disobeyed him, blown it royally, and are suffering the consequences. God is still the same. Isn't that a comforting truth? That leads us to our final point, the comfort of God's changeless character. Consider the great comfort in being personally connected to a God who never changes. From the Old Testament to the New, he is the same. None of his attributes increase or decrease because they are unchangeably infinite. His knowledge can't increase or decrease. His faithfulness cannot increase or decrease. Our actions, good or bad, can neither add to or diminish his glory. He cannot become more holy or more steadfast. He is all these things to the utmost forever. The God who was is the God who is. And the God who is the God who will be. What peace it brings to the Christian's heart to realize this. In coming to him at any time, we need not wonder if we're going to find him in a bad mood, if he got up on the wrong side of the bed. We know God is constant. He is just like he was yesterday, and he'll be just like that tomorrow. He doesn't keep office hours. He doesn't set aside periods of time where he won't see anybody. He doesn't change his mind about anything. Today, this moment, he thinks exactly about his creation the way he thought when he first created it. And that will never change until the end of time. God never changes his moods. He doesn't cool off in his affections or loses enthusiasm. His attitude towards sin is the same as it's always been. But his attitude towards sinners is likewise the same. God will not compromise or be coaxed. He cannot be persuaded to alter his word or talked into answering selfish prayer. In all of our efforts to find God, to please him, to commune with him, we should remember that all things must be on our part, because I, the Lord, do not change. In fact, the rest of that verse provides great comfort. I mentioned that at the very beginning from Malachi 3:6. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. If God were subject to change, if God changed in his moods and his affections and would go back on his word, as we often do, The people of Israel would have been wiped out long before, but God is faithful to his promises, and he will not go back on his word. We can take comfort in the fact that God does not change. The same faithful God who spoke those words 400 years before Christ was born is watching over us today. Another comforting passage on God's changeless character is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2 in verses 11 through 13. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I got to be honest with you, when I first read these verses, I had to read it over again because I couldn't believe what I just read. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 11. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will disown us. But if we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Even when we are faithless, he remains faithful. Isn't that great, comforting truth? God is faithful even when we are not. I had to read that over again because it didn't end the way I thought it would. Everything seemed to make sense until that last line. But it makes perfect sense because God is still the same. God does not change, even if we do. Remember when I said earlier that God's love for us is the same even when we've blown it, even when we question his will? A great scripture text for that comes in the book of Lamentations. I know I quoted it earlier. But let me give you a bit of background about that book. That's not one of the more well-known books of scripture. Even the name Lamentations gives us a hint as to its tone. Lamentations means songs of mourning. We would say funeral songs. And they were written after the city of Jerusalem had been destroyed. Now, it was destroyed for good reason. God had warned the Israelites repeatedly that they needed to get rid of their idols and follow him. And they refused over and over and over. And finally, God said, I've had enough. I'm going to be faithful to the promise I made that when you reject me, I will discipline you. And he brought in the Babylonians and they completely destroyed the city of Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, destroyed the city walls, took away most of the people into captivity. Jeremiah was left and he's walking the streets looking at the rubble of buildings and of people's lives. And he's writing down his thoughts in a very emotionate, passionate book. Right in the middle of this book, which is very dark, very, frankly, depressing to read, we see a glimmer of hope. In chapter 3, beginning in verse 19, it's the verses I read earlier, but I want to give you the fuller context. Jeremiah writes, I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. It's the closest word they had in Hebrew to depression. Yet, this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. You think we're in disturbing times now in our culture? Imagine what Jeremiah was going through, seeing his whole world wiped out. Destroyed, annihilated. And people were saying, where is God? Where is God? Jeremiah says, God is exactly where he's always been. God is on the throne. God is faithful. And because God is still the same, we have hope. We can take comfort in the fact that God does not change. All that God ever was, God still is, and God ever will be. What comfort that brings. Someone has to have a handle on this thing called life. Some things don't change. If God ever loved me, he loves me now. If God ever forgave me, he forgives me now. Someone reading this might say, but I've committed a sin that is too bad. Stop and think. If God were like our employers or our friends, then it might be too bad. God is not like them, though, because they change. He does not. He cannot deny himself. If God ever promised me something, he promised that forever. I've had people tell me that they wish they could have lived back in the day of the early church. According to them, God was different then. But that's not true. God has not changed, not one little bit. And as 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful. That's another word of saying still the same, doesn't change. And just, and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can depend upon God's grace because it never changes. Perhaps you've never heard that word immutable or immutability or what it meant about God. Simply put, it means that God is still the same as he ever was, and he will always be the same throughout eternity. Isn't it wonderful to know that God never changes? We are so changeable. Other people are so changeable. Everything around us is changeable. But we can be absolutely certain that our everlasting God is still the same. Theology, yes, but most practical and comforting theology. I hope this truth has taken a great load off of your mind. Sound theology has a way of doing that. Would you bow with me in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you never change. In a world in which everything seems to be up for grabs, and we don't know who to trust, we don't know where to turn, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, next week, or next month, we do know that you are the same. You have not changed one bit from when these words of Scripture were written, and you will never change in who you are. I pray that we can find hope and peace and joy in these unchanging truths amid these uncertain times. And may we share that hope with others who are like us, wondering what's going to happen next. And while we may not know the details, we can trust the one who's in charge. And that's you. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.